Our text, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 11 through 15. Wanted to thank those that prayed for the graduations this week. I mean, they were, it was a busy, busy week for everybody around here. And if you see a lot of people look tired today, there's a reason for that, okay? It's a big thing. But from what I understand, that in each graduation service that we had, someone saved and some saved. At the Friday night, we had at the end of the sermon, I usually go through a prayer to receive Christ as Savior. Then I'll ask for a show of hands who just prayed that. And we had 8 hands go up. So praise the Lord for that. You know, that's just the Lord's working. And understand, the Lord does that. And on a Thursday night, somebody said there was 3, I think, that we were here. I saw it. I just didn't see whose hands went up. I was here. And Brother Rex Carringer preached for us, did a great job. And then we had our kindergarten thing. And I even heard about 2 or 3 in that time got saved. So that's great. That's great when you see the hands going up, you see those things happening. That is wonderful. And that's part of what we're about here. Today, the sermon is titled, "The Fight Is On, O Christian Soldier." Now, you know, we've been doing a series here on God's game plan. And we were in Hosea for a little bit there. I was just trying to help you see that there's a Christian man there. God tells him to do something that seems like, well, why would he tell him to do that? He doesn't. And then bad things happen later. And then God says, okay, go back to her. And it's really a picture for us to see that no matter how bad things get, it can be restored. God can do it. And people just have to depend on the Lord, okay? You got to depend on the Lord and turn to Him with your whole heart. And then don't try to interfere with Him in the way He works about it. But He'll work and He'll do the work, but His will, His way. And so we were talking about that. And then last Sunday, or when we were on Mother's Day, we were looking more at, of course, motherhood. But we're seeing that's actually a part of regaining the mess that this country is, you know, and all that's involved in that. We're just, the only way to really get back is to start in the home. And we see the mothers, we looked at the mother's part. And so we're going to move on today. Now, as we go into Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 11 through 15 will be our text. We'll be later jumping over to chapter 6 if there is time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Now, Lord, we just need you, Lord, to speak to each heart. I can't do that. Lord, help me to be totally sensitive to thy Holy Spirit, giving me words, what I should say, and even what I should not say, Lord. Just help me with that, Lord. And Father, work in the heart. Just work in the heart of each one. And beyond my abilities to explain something, I pray thy Holy Spirit would make it clear in every heart. If there's one in this auditorium today who does not know that if they died today, that heaven's their home, I pray that today would be the very day they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If there's one who has wandered far from you, may today be the day they come home. And we would ask this in Jesus Christ's most precious and glorious name. Amen. Well, by way of introduction, if the nation's churches today go the way of full-blown iniquity and sin as we have seen them going, God can and God will destroy the nation. That's the history, down through church history as well as back through Old Testament history. We've seen that history where nations go another direction and then destruction follows that. And it begins with the churches who begin to compromise, who want to be relevant to the world, who want to be relevant to that's around them. And because they become that, they also become irrelevant to God. And then that's the problem. You see, we look at America, the government in America, and I was part of it. I grew up in the age where we had in public school, we had the Bible read to us. We had prayer. That was a daily thing along with the pledges and so forth. But yeah, there was Bible and prayer every day in public school. But the government took the Bible from the schools of America. But far worse than that, It's the parents that have taken the Bible out of the home, that they don't sit on a either daily or nightly time where they get together as a family and they read the Bible together. And so many grew up, perhaps with a Christian mother, with a Christian father, but has arrived now because they didn't really do that part in the home. And we did not indoctrinate them into the truth, the holiness, the righteousness of our God and Savior, that we did not indoctrinate them to His Word, that they might know how to live and live righteously and live acceptably unto the Lord. And because we did not do that, we have a whole generation of young people that are now adults, and their children may be following the same way, where they're not even in church. They don't know these things of the Lord. And so, parents don't read it. Why? Because they don't read it themselves. You know, you got to be in the Bible and think on it to be able to teach it to your children. So you need to read the Bible. It needs to be a daily part of your life. It needs to be there constantly, and make sure you think on it, meditate on it, and let God speak to you through it. And, oh, you know, there's going to be a day of judgment. I mean, the unsaved are going to be at a white throne judgment, from where they'll be cast into an eternal lake of fire, where they'll never cease to exist, where they'll never be able to escape. In hell, there is no salvation. Salvation can only come in this life through receiving Jesus Christ through repentance and faith. But without that, then you're in hell forever. But the Christian is at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about the judgment seat of Christ. To receive in our bodies things which we have done, whether they be good or bad. And so, Christians, when you arrive at that judgment seat of Christ, just the failure in the home will be made manifest at that time. And the Bible calls it ashamed at His appearing. These are things that we need to keep in our minds as we go into our message today. Because if Christians do not go back to the Word of the Lord, we shamefully, and I say that shamefully, surrender and become the cowardly nation who lacked love for our country, for our progeny. And really betraying, therefore, our country, our family, and particularly our God. And by that, when a country has that facing them, and then suddenly things begin to fall apart, the economy goes, murder everywhere, perversion in all places, there'll probably be someone who says, well, why would God allow that? Well, see, you forget God created you with a free will, and you could have stood, should have stood. And you don't as a Christian. And so, those who are saved, those who do love God, they must be reserved and resolved unto God to stand for Him regardless of the cause, being more concerned for our country, for our churches, for our children, and not giving in to our fear of our pride being hurt, of what people might think of us, or what we might think that we lose in this life if we give in to that pride. Pride and the humbling revelation of our true selves will be seen for among Christians at the judgment seat of Christ. And the call in this woke age, and I call it that, the woke age. It's not my, you know, that's not my terminology, but that is what it has become and is becoming. And they want to indoctrinate your children to become that. They really do. I got a letter this week. I preached the graduation service, and one of the things I said in there, it's the last thing to our teenagers here, our graduates graduating, said, abortion is murder. Man, I got some hate mail on that one. But that's the way the world is thinking. Okay. Now, what does that tell you about that person? It tells me they need Savior. And they need Christians who will love that person to try to bring them to Christ. And so I don't know, I've ever met the person. I've probably seen them and never knew it. But nonetheless, they were here. But guess what else? They heard the gospel while they were here. Hopefully they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So, but we live in this woke culture. And so because of that, there is a call for Christian men. Men. To be real men of God, not woke men of the world. It doesn't start first. I mean, let me emphasize that. It does not start first in the halls of government. Rather, it starts in the halls of the home. Now, folks, as I said at the outset, I don't like the decisions the government has made against church and righteousness and things. I'm glad we've got a governor that has taken a stand for us and is against all this stuff with pornography in the schools and things like that, and has done something about it. I'm really happy about that. But to be honest with you, one governor is not going to make a change if Christians don't make a change. And we've got to stand. We've got to stand. Verse 11 of our text here of Deuteronomy chapter 4 says, "And ye came near and stood near the mountain." This is when Moses is on the mountaintop. He's listening for God. He's talking to God. And so the people were down there, and the people were scared half to death. Why? Because the rest of the verse goes on. And the mountain burned with fire into the midst of the heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, yet only heard a voice. And by the way, let me just say this. When people say, God spoke to me, I believe God does speak to us in our heart. It's not going to be an audible voice, but if you'll read His word, He'll impress on your heart clearly things that He wants, things that He's dealing with in your own personal life, and you do hear from God that way. But people tell you about their vision they had and they saw God, they don't realize that God is a spirit. Amen. And we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Don't let this devil give you false impressions and understanding of who God is. The devil is not your teacher. And so, he goes on in verse 13, says, "And He declared unto you His covenant, which He commanded unto you to perform, even the commandments. And He wrote them upon two tables of stone." Now, don't you think that when You see a man standing on that was called to come up before all the people. He goes up to the mountain, and that mountain's quaking. There's fire coming down. There's this great cloud, and this voice starts speaking, for God to go to that point, I would say you better listen. And he's given commands. You know, when God gives a command, anytime you see a command in the Word of God, that means this. It means that you're accountable. If God gives a command to mankind, you're accountable. I don't remember my preacher preaching that. Do you have the Bible? Yeah, I want to preach the whole counsel of God. But do you have the Bible? Because in my preaching of the Word of God, I want you to understand there are going to be times that I miss things, but there's also going to be times that you're not here. And there are things that I will not cover, perhaps. And God has a Word of God, a Bible for you to have, that he can show you things that you didn't get from this preacher. Why? Because he is the counselor. He is the mighty God. He's wonderful, full of wonders. Now, people come to me for counsel, and I do. I pray daily the Lord would give me quick recall of the word to be able to give counsel to them. But really, your first counselor and your best counselor is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, oh, I can't hear his voice. Listen to him in his word. Pray daily, asking him to talk to you. He'll begin to show you. And then wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Anybody ever call you up, ask you to a question about something? And you might say, listen, I'll get back to you. Let me get back to you on that. And you're being honest because you're not really sure. Well, they don't want to wait. They called you because they want to hear right now. Sometimes we do that on God. We want right now. Well, God didn't give me my answer. Well, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You think you put one on him that he doesn't know or something he can't solve? Wait. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Verse 14 says, and the Lord commanded me at the time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Now, God's given them a thing. He's given them a land. Basically, in giving them a land, he did the same thing he did with Adam. Remember in the garden? He gave Adam a garden. Then he gave him a wife. What is he called her? God called her a helpmeet. You know what the word helpmeet means? It means to help meet the goal. It does. So Adam and Eve, as a husband and wife, had something to work together for God because it was God's call on their life. And Satan, of course, did get in. He did get in. That wasn't God's fault. He had already commanded. He had already told them. And he had warned them what would happen if they went from it. They went from it. And this is the condition we're in today. And yet, I don't blame Adam and Eve, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we've got to understand that. So again, he goes on to say there, ye are therefore, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no matter of similitude on the day of the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Now, by the way, our God is a consuming fire. I believe that that's why he spoke out of the midst of the fire. I believe that he wanted the people to see that his judgment is sure when you go against the judgment of God. And so, don't betray the only Savior of the soul. The home, therefore, must learn. And we must learn from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, because he said, oh, that's Old Testament. What you're preaching is Old Testament. Do you realize that every word of the Old Testament is God-breathed also? Holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed. I was doing that with the teenagers on Friday night. God breathed means you talk, it's, you're breathing out. You're breathing out while you talk. And I use the word high. High. Now say hi going in. Hi. Okay. When you're breathing in, saying hi, it just doesn't work. Every word was God breathed to a holy man. Couldn't be any man. Had to be a holy man of God. And he would write down every word exactly. And God promised in Psalms 12, 6 and 7 that he would preserve every word. Not one word would be lost. We've got, in this King James Bible that you have every word of God preserved for you. You can trust it. You can trust it immensely. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, I've said all that just to say, this is for everybody. This is for men particularly. Why? Because, Dad, you are the head of the home. God expects you to be the spiritual leader of the home. As a helpmeet, his wife helps him meet that goal of the spiritual leader of the home. She doesn't take his position. She is there to back his position, to work with him. Now, verse 1 there says, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he says, now, these are the commandments, statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. Now understand, the Lord gave them the land. He delivered them. He brought them to it. And so now he's got commandments. These commandments are very straightforward. There's no, what does he mean by that? No, it's very straightforward. And so the commandments are to be obeyed. Commandments in the Bible for any believer will be an area of accountability. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Didn't you see, he said, your son, your son's son. You see, that home time in the Word of God, see, in the Word of God, you're teaching them what God says. You're teaching him God's way. And so, as a father, we fail if we don't teach that to our children. And then they don't teach it to their children. Then your country fails. Your grandchildren are in hell. Now, if you're a younger father in here, or even a middle-aged father, you got kids at home, change it now if you're not doing it. Change it now. God's going to hold you accountable. Now, you can imagine one of your kids messing up badly, and you're at the judgment seat of Christ, and they're saved, but as they said, saved so as by fire, and you're there, and it's recounted that you failed to even your own children. Wow. Wow. That's hard. Verse 3 says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Now, how hard is that? God says, if you obey, you're going to increase. Now, God puts a call on your life. Okay, I'm called to be a missionary. I'm called to be this. I'm called to be that. Maybe you're called to be somebody who works in a Christian school. Maybe you say, well, I'm a mechanic. I'm a businessman. I'm this. Yeah. Every profession of life needs a light. And your abilities may be a mechanic that works in a garage. You may be a painter that's painting houses, building homes. Whatever it is, Consider the call, because ye are as lights in the world, the Bible says. But make sure that light begins first in your home. And so, as a light of God, you represent Christ the best you can. It's fun to listen over the years here in our high school graduations that all these plans the young people plan to do with their life and all that. I'd probably 80% of them have been gone a different direction, if not more than that, by the 20 years later. But that's the hope of young people. Nothing wrong with most of those plans. It's just that it may not be God's will. And you know, a mom or a dad might say, I want my child to be this, I want my child to be that. And they think of all these things they want for their child. Mom and dad, the best thing that you can want for your child is they know the will of God for their life, and they do it, and you support them in knowing that it is the will of God, and follow them up with them, help them. Amen. Reach it there. Reach that goal that God has given them. Let them share it. I believe God wants me to do this, and then after you discuss it, after you pray about it, you know about it, and you're going to trust God in this thing, then help them to get there. I'm tired of seeing my country fall apart. I'm tired of seeing churches fall apart. I'm tired of seeing families fall apart. But I'm ready to get overtired and do something about it. It's time to do something. It's time to act. So, yeah, he said they would increase, but you notice that the increase comes if they obey. If there's no obedience, there is no increase. And notice, he said there in verse 3, increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. God makes a promise, he doesn't break it. In the land that floweth with milk and honey. Again, with commands, we'll give an account. But also, you obey, you'll be blessed of God. You know, just telling them how their land would be better, would increase if they obey. And when they did, Israel really increased. Things happened that were great. When they began to disobey and go away from it, they wanted to be relevant to the world. That is when things fell apart. They lost everything trying to be relevant to the world. It happens in churches. The devil's been quite successful. He's quite a warrior. He is a brilliant. The devil is a brilliant strategist. And foolish Christians who are not walking with God as they ought to walk with him, and they're looking to be more relevant to the world than to the holy word of God, what happens? They get a new vocabulary. Now they're using the words grace and liberty to justify the works of the flesh. Even Galatians chapter 5 that they like to use says, give none occasion, use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You see, they have used it, why? To justify lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is anything goes. And so that's what they've become, and they think they're good Christians and they're doing the right thing. Instead, they're destroying what God made and laid out for us. Don't be a part of that group that fights against God. Stand up for Jesus. His word is still right. His word is still true. And it'll never change. So stand up for Jesus. And so, yes, you give an account of God to God that one day. And God wants that account to be a good account. And listen, it would do my heart not one bit of good at all for you to have a bad account, for anyone to have a bad account. Verse 5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Other words, physically, spiritually, give your best. And guess what I found through ministry especially, but just through life. The more you obey God, the harder you work for the Lord, the more Satan is going to attack. And he'll make those attacks harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. Don't quit. Don't quit. Have that resolve to serve God with your body, spiritually, being in the Word, seeking God's guidance day after day after day, and in the things of God, doing the best you can, giving it your best effort, your best might, giving it all your might. And when all the things that go wrong can go wrong, by all means, you know God is right, so don't quit. Never, never quit. He says, and the words which I command thee, in verse 6, this day shall be in thine heart. Now, you know, I was telling somebody yesterday, I says, I pray for every one of my children and my wife and so forth by name every morning. Every morning by name. I pray for their spouses. I pray for my children's grandchildren. I wish you'd quit having more grandchildren. I'm getting broke. But outside of that, they're doing great. And, you know, some of those kids, when I could see they were serious when they were dating, I started praying for that one they were dating. Some say, well, if they're dating a balloon, they needed all the prayer they could get. But nonetheless, I'm just saying I prayed for them that if that became their spouse, they'd have a right heart. Be able to work together. And still, in all the prayers I can pray for them, I can't make their decisions. They have to make them. You can pray diligently for someone and just pour out your heart lovingly with all that is within you and pray for that someone, but they still have a free will. They've got to respond to God. But you can pray that God would do those things that are necessary to put the fear of God in their heart, that they might change. And so he says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. What does the word diligent mean to you? Think about it. When you're doing diligent at something, man, you're going after it. Go after it in teaching your children, your grandchildren. Teach it diligently. And thou shalt talk of them, that is, of these things, of God's commands, of his words, of his promise. When thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou sittest down, and when thou risest up. I mean, at all times, you're representing Jesus Christ to your home. Men, you have that leadership. Ladies, back them up in that leadership. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the table, upon the post, should I say, of thy house and on thy gates. Now, with these promises, I'm going to close it up here in just a moment, but I want you to understand, you're giving your all to obey. See, our failures come as Christians when we don't stick to it. We allow trials to take us from it. Don't quit. Don't quit. Stick with it. Stick with what God gave you to do. God works things out in his time. But you go through those trials. You go through those troubles. Listen, your children will see it. I've told you many times, I had a hard time accepting the call to be a pastor because I knew what pastors go through watching my dad. You know, as most preacher kids think anything but a pastor. And the reason they do is because they see the various things, the accusations, everything else go on, public life. That's fine, but you know what? God teaches you things, especially as you see your parents endure. Mom, dad, endure in the righteousness. Endure in righteousness. Let your children see that. Now, with all of those things I just read to you from this sixth chapter, I'm going to jump down and read verses 13 through 17, and then two more verses after that. Verses 13 through 17, just listen as I read, but pay attention to what it's saying. For thou shalt hear the Lord thy God, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. In other words, you'll make promises, you make that by his name. That means you're sticking with it. Because if you don't stick with it, then you're lying to God, let alone whoever you made a promise to. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Manasseh. That's where the waters were corrupted. And they got mad. They got so mad at God. We're going to thirst to death, the idea there. And God provided the water. He just didn't trust him that they couldn't see it, so God's not providing. But God provided. Verse 17, ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord. Again, there's that word diligence. Diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimony and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And he brought us out of thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware to our fathers. He brought you out of a great trial. The stuff that was in Egypt was terrible. Now don't forsake him now that he's brought you out. These two last verses then of Deuteronomy chapter 6 here, verse 24. And the Lord God commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our God always, that he might preserve us alive as is at this day. Your God cares. Verse 25. And this is what I really wanted you to get. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments. Therefore obey the Lord your God as he hath commanded us, is what he's saying there. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? A lot of times people say, well, what is righteousness? Well, it's obeying the Lord. Obeying the Lord. By his word, you obey the word of God. That's obeying the righteousness of God. That's being righteous. You know, the reason I'm accepted into heaven is because one day I realized I was a sinner headed to hell. Somebody showed me that in the word of God. My parents did. And I received Christ as Savior that day in our living room. I got saved that day, but I was saved by receiving his salvation. It was Jesus that saved me, not my parents. Theirs was to present to me that word that I might get saved, but it was Jesus that saved me. It's not, oh, my faith was so great. No, I believed him, but he saved me. And you see, Ephesians tells me that one day I'm going to be accepted in the beloved in Jesus. Why? Because Christ, the Bible tells us, is our righteousness. You must be in Christ to be saved. You must receive him as your Lord and Savior. He is the righteousness. If you're depending on God measuring your goodness against your bad, You're going to lose that battle and you're going to burn in hell forever. But if you want to have victory, if you want to have everlasting life, then this morning receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Give your life to Him in repentance and faith. And go out to serve Him. Parents, until you're dead or your children are dead, there's still hope because we have a great God. Don't give up. But maybe there is a need today to recommit yourself as a parent in your prayer and in the direction of your home. Whatever it is, let's take care of the spiritual need in our lives today. Let's bow our heads, please. Now, Father, in a moment, we're going to have this invitation, Lord, and I just pray that as we sing this hymn, that Thy Holy Spirit would move in this place, Lord, and I pray that You would just do a special work in each heart as You have spoken to them. May we respond to You in Jesus' name. Amen.